So the big question is this: how do entrepreneurial salespeople like us, who have traditionally sold alone and used gut and intuition to hit their number, take their innate talents and begin selling using science, technology, and the secrets of thousands who have done it before to crush their quota and change the world? That is the question, and this podcast provides the answers. Today we're going to be talking about compensation, why it's so freaking important, and why people don't do it as well as they can. Now, to do that, we've got Alec Hudzik on the line. He's coming from Nasuni. He is the director of inside sales over there. Alex, thanks for joining. How the heck are you?
I'm doing great. It's Friday afternoon, so I'm in a good mood. So I'm this good timing for the podcast.
That's right, man. That's right. Things are slowing down here. We're kind of reaching the end of the day, and it's summer. Most people seem to bail here a couple hours early anyways. So we'll get you back to the fun here in just a minute, but we got to pin you down on compensation, the why, the what, and the how. Tell us just though, real quick, a little bit about yourself and what you do over there at Nasuni.
Yeah, sure. So I've been in inside sales actually my whole career. And right before this podcast, I was thinking through it. It was actually earlier this month that 10 years ago, I graduated from college and took my first SDR job.
Is that right?
At a big technology company. So I've got a lot of thoughts, opinions, a lot of passion around inside sales. I've been in the technology industry this whole time, and now I'm get the opportunity to run a global inside sales team here at Nasuni, which is a cloud-based file storage technology that we sell to enterprise.
Got it. Cloud storage for enterprise. Awesome. And then just to humanize you real quick, outside of work, anything you're passionate about, fun stories, embarrassing moments, you're a terrible golfer, or you like to swim in the morning, something weird like that?
Yeah, well, I definitely am a terrible golfer, but I do like it. Big sports fan, born and raised in the Boston area. So a huge fan of all the Boston sports fans. I used to be a Celtics season ticket holder, and we're looking pretty stacked next year. So definitely excited.
Wow. No kidding. That could have been a big year for you guys. I thought it was going to be it. The question I've got to ask is, are you getting LeBron? I mean, is he coming? What's going on, man? What's the word?
I don't know if this is a popular or unpopular opinion in Boston, but I actually don't want him.
I
admit that he's the best player and probably ever. But I actually don't think we need him. And I think it would just be more fun to win a championship beating him, especially if he goes out west to the Lakers or something.
Yeah, man, it's going to be interesting. You guys have something special. I think Kyrie might not be very happy. I think he tried to escape LeBron a little bit. They bring him back, but you never know.
Right, exactly.
Awesome. I'd love to talk more about that. I was out in Boston actually just last week, man. I probably should have come to visit for the Zoom Info conference. Out there was
cool.
A good conference. Magic Johnson, speaking of basketball people, was out speaking. Bigger than I realized. I didn't realize he'd be so big. But anyways, let's jump past that. You got Boston, got it. You're a basketball guy, got it. Let's get into compensation. Want to start just big picture. I mean, this is something you and I talked a little bit about back and forth, and I was like, what are you passionate about? Why do you feel like this is such an important topic?
Yeah, I'm very passionate about this topic. I potentially venture to argue it might be the most important thing to get right when it comes to inside sales. I mean, one of the probably the single largest reason why people get into sales is because of the opportunity to make money, mm-hmm. and the opportunity to make money relative to your skills and effort. Unlike most jobs, which are salary oriented, and whether you're working hard, not working hard, doing a good job or doing an average job, ultimately you're going to make the same money at the end of the year. And so it's really, really critical that this compensation plan allows you to do that, because that's the dream of sales. And I've just seen too many times, including with my own comp plans, over the last decade, that's not always the case.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like it can make or break. I don't know if we put enough emphasis on it. You know, we We sometimes complain that pipe isn't right and sales development isn't doing their job. And I don't know if we think about compensation enough. So it sounds like you've obviously put a lot of thoughts into this, and we were talking multiple things, lessons learned. There was so much goodness in there. I want to kind of get through these multiple kind of tidbits or points you've learned that people either succeed or don't succeed. Maybe you can start at the top. Some of the key things you've found that makes compensation done right or done wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Ultimately, the manager is, and I manage a large team, probably much, probably not at the ideal ratio. I've got 13 direct reports. And so, at best, I'm probably kind of with them at their desk in the trenches with them, maybe 5% of their day. And so the 95% of their day when I'm not directly working with them, I feel like the compensation plan and their understanding of the goals and objectives for the company and for the role is really what's going to be the guidepost for them. They make thousands of tiny decisions every single day,
right,
around what they want to do. And so the compensation plan needs to be really, really tied to, what the company objectives are. There's at least, I have five that come to mind, but there's at least five things that I've just seen that kind of where typical inside sales comp plans can go wrong. The first one being, preferring just simplicity of the comp plan over actually, choosing KPIs that really matter to the business. And this happens a lot, especially when, people maybe that are not familiar with inside sales, are in charge of kind of heading that up. And if the simpler, the easier for them, I see all the time, sometimes, the wish, from top down is, why don't we just pay the SDRs on bookings? That's really clean and easy. And I know a dollar in is a dollar out. And so that's like a perfect example where that is simple. But ultimately, that's not going to drive the behavior that you want. And although in pretty much every other aspect of sales and business, I subscribe to the theory behind Einstein's quote about how genius is making complex ideas simple,
and not
making simple ideas complex. I couldn't disagree more in the case of SDR comp. I actually think that you really need to evaluate what are the KPIs that matter to the business, what's going to drive the right behavior. So you kind of need to model it out in your mind. And if that means that there's two or three different components and you need to weight those components differently, if that's what's going to really drive the results that you want, and it's more complex and it takes you 5 minutes to explain to somebody, for me, that's okay.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, this gets the problem of, specific tactics, I think, that people actually run when it comes to compensation for SDRs. There is a lot of debate on that point of, should you pay them on, revenue, or should you pay them on appointments set, et cetera. But it sounds like you've just ended with, you've got to somehow simplify. When you say simplify, is it actually what you're paying them on, or is it just the number of things? Like, don't pay them on activities and conversations and appointments and ops and rev. And is it just the number of things, or is it the type of things?
So I'm actually arguing the opposite. I'm actually arguing that the plan does not need to be simple.
Should be a little more complicated. Oh, interesting.
Well, not to be complicated for complicated sake, but I think that sometimes there's a desire to oversimplify a comp plan, and that's where things go wrong. If you just want to pay them, say, on one particular metric, for example, that doesn't always drive the behavior that you want, because that, for example, could get over rotated. And if you over rotate on meeting schedules, you might not get the completion rate that you want. If you over rotate on meeting completed, you may not get the quality that you want.
Right.
If you over rotate on bookings, you may not get the activity that you want. And so that's where I think maybe having two or three different components to the comp plan, and then also weighting them, based off of, what you deem to be other important factors, Like that's okay. It's okay to have a slightly more complex comp plan. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. So hit on this point of waiting, because I feel like some people would maybe nod their head and say, got it. You know, you want to find that balance of simplicity, complexity. Don't oversimplify, which I like. That's interesting. But how do you start thinking about waiting? What does that mean? And how do you put that in a comp plan?
Yeah, that's something that's very particularly interesting from my perspective, because it actually wasn't something that I probably would have talked about even a year ago. Hmm. But just through meeting other inside sales leaders, listening to your podcast, listening to other podcasts, I'd heard that, and actually just in the last quarter have implemented a waiting structure that I feel like helped us strike the right balance. And the point of waiting certain components is to do as much as you can, and it's never going to be perfect. I guess let me caveat this entire discussion that there is no such thing as a perfect comp plan. As soon as you think that it is, there's a million ways that I could probably poke holes through it, and your SDRs will too.
So true.
But the goal is to be as close to perfect as possible. And for me, that means eliminating luck, and leveling the playing field for everybody as much as possible.
Yeah.
So for example, SDRs can be inbound, they can be outbound, right. They can be all bound if it's both. But there's a variety of things that can generate meetings and generate pipeline that don't necessarily correlate to the hard work or skill of the SDR.
Okay.
And so, just to be specific, you know, one of the ways that we're doing waiting here would be something like a demo request might be only worth 1 point. Something like, you know, downloading a top of funnel asset where it generates, or demonstrates some sort of interest in the topic, but not necessarily our company or our product in any way. That might be worth 2 points. And then straight up cold prospecting might be worth 3 points. And that way it's, because one, there's not an even distribution of demo requests or marketing leads. But also, the goal is that I want to, you know, I really want to evaluate and promote SDRs based off of their work ethic and the skills that they bring to the job. And so that point system gives me a much clearer picture than just saying, how many meetings did you schedule this month or this quarter?
Interesting. Have you also found that on just that last point on meetings scheduled? I mean, I had someone the other day tell me the problem we have is not all meetings scheduled are equal, right? I mean, sometimes we get a meeting scheduled with, you know, Dell Software with their CEO, and then I get a meeting scheduled with John Doe at Lawnmower Company XYZ, and it's like, how can we call that the same when they're just not? Have you thought even deeper? I like the idea on some of the stuff like, you know, before, but have you thought about after?
Yeah, so that's a great point, because obviously those two things are not equal. So that would be another example where waiting might make sense for you. Mm. You might say that, you know, depending on, you know, what type of market you're going after, you might say that, you know, that lawnmower company is SMB and you can get a meeting there and you'll get credit, but maybe that's a 1 point meeting. Mm. But, you know, a larger enterprise where the deal size is going to be larger and, you know, you could do it based off of X number of employees, you know, over 10,000 employees like Dell would have. That might be a 5 point meeting.
Yeah.
And that actually brings me to kind of another thing that I see a lot, which is where sometimes you'll coach the team on best practices. You will talk about, hey, let's get into these large accounts. And that's where the larger deals are.
Right.
But if you don't actually structure the comp plan to incentivize them to go after those larger accounts, then they're not, you know, if their comp plan says get meetings, they're going to be able to transactionally likely get more meetings with smaller accounts. And so it doesn't matter how many times you coach on the value of meeting with enterprises, they're going to go back to their desk and they're going to take advantage of their comp plan. Another good example of this too is, you know, regardless of the type of the company, we always coach on trying to target C-level or VP-level decision makers, right?
Right, right.
But those are the hardest ones to get to read your email or to pick up the phone.
Right.
And so if on a monthly basis they're being evaluated and paid on meetings, why would they spend their time there? You haven't made it financially in their best interest to. And so if it, you kind of have to, as a management team, put your money where your mouth is. If you actually want to incentivize that behavior, you need to then do something around weighting that C-level, VP-level decision-maker meetings are more points than, you know, lower-level meetings, if that makes sense.
Yeah, interesting. So you've gone pretty deep into this. I mean, weighting, it does seem like it's often sometimes the answer, because there isn't just like a one-size. And again, not all meetings are the same, not all leads are the same, not all. And so weighting does kind of drive. It sounds like you've gone pretty far down this path of trying to figure out the best weighting system across different areas.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you have to test everything. I'm a bit like that. That's actually why I love inside sales. I feel like it's much, much easier in it's a more controlled environment. So, you know, while it's nowhere near perfect or sterile the way a scientist would want it to be, because there's still, you know, thousands of variables of humans interacting that you can't really account for, it is much easier to, you know, to change directions, train a team, all when, you know, you're looking out of your office and everyone is together on the same floor versus trying to do that, you know, organization wide across a field sales team. So I'm a big fan of trying things, testing it. I mean, it's not worth trying anything unless you have a good plan to measure those results. I know you're obviously a big fan of that type of behavior, as am I, and Inside Sales is a great platform to be able to do that.
Yeah. Interesting. I mean, you're right, man. It's in, especially in our world, it's like, you know, that's the, I've been debating with people on social, and sometimes, you know, you're like, this is good or that's good. But when it comes down to it, it's like, actually, whatever works is good.
Right.
But I don't know, to your point, if there is any. I've never gotten to a place where I'm like, compensation. That was one of the reasons I was interested in this conversation. I think of our own BD team, and I've got BD response, you know, some BD responsibilities here. And I'm just like, God, I still don't feel like I've got it. So this part of this, I'm trying to steal knowledge from you. One of the things I think a lot of people debate, and you had this kind of on your list of do's and don'ts, it's just thinking about control and not control. And I debate this, you know, and this is kind of, I was alluding to this at the beginning. It's, you know, I mean, paying people on things that maybe they don't really psychologically own, right? It's, I don't know if I'm really working on the closed deal, or I can't control some of, you know, the things that are here or there. How do you think through this concept of control and not control and compensation?
Yeah, that's a huge one, honestly, especially when it comes to inside sales and SDR specifically. Because if you kind of think of the concept of, you know, why we developed SDRs, it was, you know, we have this sales process, right? And let's turn this into an assembly line. Let's have different specialized roles focused on one thing. And then there's a handoff process.
Right.
So the SDR is almost by definition of their existence, their job is to generate interest, and then there's varying degrees to either how much interest or what that prospect needs to look like. But regardless, at some point, every SDR org hands it off to somebody else.
Right.
And so once you've handed it off to somebody else, at that point, they've either lost you know, the vast majority of control or 100% control over what happens at that point.
Right.
You know, so while leadership, what we care about is quality. And so for us to feel better about what quality is, we want to see deals progress through the pipeline, right? So in a perfect world, we would want to just pay SDRs on closed business. You know, for at least for my business and enterprise IT and sales cycles that are, you know, 6 months typically.
Right.
That does not make sense. It may if you have a lower ASP or a shorter sales cycle, but for us, that doesn't make sense. And so where then do you, you know, snap the line at, okay, this opportunity has reached a defined stage that we feel comfortable, you know, paying the SDR on. But the further you get to closing business, the less now control they have, because at least the way we typically align is territory based. So you're aligned either 1-to-1 or 1-to-2 or 1-to-3 an outside sales rep. And so, you know, as I'm sure we all know, mileage varies on the skills and effort and abilities of those field sales reps. And so nothing, in my experience kills morale or motivation more than when the SDR feels like they're doing everything the way that they've been coached to and doing a great job. And then it's their field sales team, for example, that they feel is dropping the ball. And that is what is hurting their compensation. Because what is motivating them to do the right things if they feel like they have no control over their compensation? Same thing happens too a lot of times with inbound or any teams that manage inbound is they don't have control over the amount or quality of the marketing leads that come their way. And so as much as you can, through waiting or other measures, create a comp plan that they actually can affect, that it's actually their own, work ethic and their own skill set that if it's higher, they're going to make more. If it's lower, they're going to make less. And again, it's never perfect, but you have to find some way to pull that out. So for us, kind of the happy medium is, we've created a very early stage of pipeline that is effectively, was this meeting with the right person and do they have a pain that we can solve? So for us, that was the right metric. It wasn't just on getting a meeting, because we found challenges with that, but it also wasn't that this thing is bank qualified. We have a champion, there's a project, there's budget, because those things we found were really out of their control. Sometimes you get lucky and you'd have a lot of those. Sometimes you might be unlucky and not have those things. And so for us, that was the right balance.
So true, man. Man, that is a, it's funny. This is such an important role, sales development. But that, you know, we've struggled figuring out that kind of early stage op, like, you know, appointment set isn't good enough. And stage two op, you know, is a little far out of the play. It's like, where is the right handoff? And, you know, we try to put it in an early stage opportunity, but then sometimes it gets stuck there. I mean, you know, this working together, it's kind of like being married. It's just never easy. it's just, you know, there's good times and there's bad times. Interesting. Well, let's kind of wrap here. As our time runs short, Alex, really appreciate you taking a minute. As you kind of think about the audience, and we got a lot of sales leaders out there, a lot of people in your own shoes trying to juggle this just like myself. Any kind of summarizing thoughts you'd say, guys, as you think about, you know, compensation for sales development, you know, make sure you know, maybe it's your testing concept. What would be kind of your words of wisdom you'd leave with the group here?
Yeah. So I would strongly encourage you to spend a lot of time thinking about this. Yeah. I understand how this could fall lower on the priority list. It's easier to just whitewash things and simplify it. It's easier to just kind of give everybody the same goal. For example, that's one thing we didn't talk about was, sometimes there are inherent differences in territory, for example, that if you give everybody the same goal, you're not giving everyone a level playing field.
Yeah.
And so it takes time to really think through all of those variables. And like I said, it's okay if it's slightly more complex because as long as it drives the right behavior. Simplicity for simplicity's sake, that will not drive the right behavior is just going to lead to not as much productivity as you would like. So I guess my parting words would just be to spend time with this. It is incredibly important. These people, not only is it important to the productivity of their role, but it's incredibly important for employee retention.
Yep.
And I think most people hire SDRs not to be SDRs forever.
Right.
So losing quality people that could be, you know, 10-year contributors to your company is sinful in my opinion.
I love it.
And so this is really, really critical. And I know from experience, I almost quit sales. In my second year, I thought I was a hotshot. I thought I was doing really well. I was the top SDR. I got promoted very quickly and I almost quit in that next role because I had a comp plan that I felt like I didn't have control over. I felt like I was not fairly evaluated with my peers. And I thought that it just wasn't for me. And that was all comp plan related. And so I guess I'm just leaving you that this is a very important topic that's worth spending time. You can reach out to me on LinkedIn, Alex Hudzik at Nasuni. I'm more than happy to have conversations with people that are trying to structure complaints. I have a lot of experience with it.
I may take you up on that, man, because we've been struggling with ours. So you may get an email from me, and I'm gonna use it and abuse the Alex. But hey, man, really appreciate it. Thanks so much for joining. Great information for the audience. Remember, success is just one play away. Want more sales secrets? Go to salessecrets.io to receive copies of our latest research and best practice content to help you crush your quota.